This episode of Ticket Volume is brought to you by us, Invigate. Get service operations under control in no time. Get one free month of our software solution by going to try.invigate.com. Ticket Volume is proud to present the CEO and co-founder of Navia. He's a well-known member of the service management community who got his start as a field engineer and progressed through multiple roles over 13 years to eventually become the national manager of professional services at Amdel Canada, and also served a stint at IBM Global Services doing process consulting engagements. Welcome to Ticket Volume, news and information for improving IT experiences. I'm your host, Matt Barron, and each week I get the pleasure of getting to chat with different leaders to share their insights on service management, technology, and business, and then I get to share it with you all. I hope that you're having a great day and a great week, and I also hope that you leave a comment, connect with us, or share our podcast with someone, a random stranger in the grocery store, for example. For now, though, let's get started. Welcome to Ticket Volume, David Mainville.
Hey, Matt, thank you so much. And I am having a great day and it just got better.
Nice. I love it. I love that positive energy, dude. You definitely are one of those people that is clear. You have a clear focus. So if you've got David Mainville in your life, keep him in your life. He will help you stay focused.
I'm grateful.
And, you know, I got the opportunity to interview you a long time ago when Navia was just getting started. It was like a glimmer in your eye. And I really like this phrasing that you used when we last spoke. You said you keep making reference to robust and resilient processes. And I'm curious, because you've been doing process your whole life, your whole career.
Pretty much.
What is a robust and resilient process?
Well, I'm going to start by telling you two things it's not. It's not a procedure, right? So many people confuse process with procedure. So a process gives you sort of the high level look at things. So my process for getting up in the morning, you know, I get up, I make breakfast, I get cleaned up, I get in the car and commute. That's the process. But the procedure, okay, how do you brush your teeth? What's the recipe for making bacon and eggs? That's the procedural level, right? So process and procedure often gets confused. And if you're only talking about the procedures, it doesn't give you the big picture, because procedures are very small parts of the process. The other thing it's not, and people always confuse this, a procedure or a process, I should say, is not ServiceNow. ServiceNow is not your process. ServiceNow is the workflow automation system that automates the process, but it doesn't tell you how to do your job. It just flows a ticket through the system. So what's my role? Who's the owner of the process? Who updates the process? Who trains people on the process? Who communicates the value and of the process? Who governs the process? None of that. So it's not the technology. It's not the procedures. It really is that overarching blueprint that really takes you from point A to point B. And it's usually technology agnostic. If you do your process right, you can fit any tool into the equation.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the huge part. That is the value. It's the foundation that everything that we do is built upon. And I really like that you use that word blueprint, because and that you talk about the various aspects of a process, because it's more than just a flowchart, right? Oh,
sure. There's roles, there's responsibilities, there's metrics, there's policies, there could be technical elements of the process. What are the user stories to automate the process? There's so many pieces that come together to make the process. And so many people think a process is nothing more than a flow diagram. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a flow diagram, it's an important part of the process, but you need to know those other things. You need to know the context.
Yes, I love it. Okay, so clearly you're a process nerd to the core. And you must love them because you've been spending so much time with them.
I want to hear a real short story.
Yeah, bring it.
Okay. So you mentioned before in the introduction that I was a field engineer. And I remember, and this was back in the day. I mean, so you can tell I've been around the block, right? So back in the day, we had a ticketing system. We actually used a teletype to communicate with a 300 baud modem. If those of you out there even know what that is, you know, acoustic coupler. But anyway, but it had all of the same core components that that we have in modern systems. You know, you enter a ticket that can be turned into a problem. It had information associated to it. When you took actions on a change or a ticket, it was all tracked in the system. And the time I got really excited about process was we had an issue at the company I worked for. They're Amdahl Canada. Amdahl used to be a mainframe company and they're not in business anymore. But back then we had an issue with disk drives. So these were big disk drives and big data centers. And a bunch of them were failing sporadically. And the failures had serious repercussions. And because we had such good process, because we recorded everything in the system, right down to the serial number of the part we changed and other information, we saw a pattern.
Yeah.
We realized that devices that fell within a certain serial range were going to fail. So we preemptively went in and replaced them so our customers didn't have any outage. And then the light bulb went on. That's not the technology. That's not the ticketing system. That's the process. My manager made sure I entered the information. People governed the process. We had meetings to talk about incidents and changes. And all of that stuff around is what made it so resilient and robust. The process, not the technology.
Yes, I love that. That's such a good story. I'm getting goosebumps as you tell it, because I think a lot of us have been through that, where we just... It's inherent in our nature, especially if we're tool geeks.
And we all are, you know?
Yeah. And you just know, you get in a car and you test drive it. You're like, this doesn't feel right. Something's not right here. And the tooling combined with really good process is what helps us realize that, kind of prove it. That's where the value is in being able to deliver that value, right?
And you were talking about blueprint, right? So... you want to make your tool work? Okay, you want to build a house? You get blueprints, right? You want to make your tool work? You got to start with the blueprint. What is the process you want to automate? You don't start by just opening up, you're going in to do a customization of a tool and opening up a screen and turning to your neighbor and saying, well, what field should go on this screen? You really need to understand the process. And then from that, you can decompose the process into the user stories, into the technical requirements, and get really solid requirements that will actually reduce rework, because the better requirements going in. And, you know, for that, the business has to talk with the IT folks, right? And process is kind of that point where you can communicate from the business side to the technical side. At least in my opinion, that's what it is.
Yes. It's such an important point. And I don't do a lot of implementations now. I try to do at least one a year so that I'm constantly, staying fresh with what's going on. And what I forget is that people skip over process. I sort of forget that people do that because it's the easy button. You maybe you're overly trusting of your service management vendor that they will tell you what to do, or what they've put into their software is good enough. But the process work is the challenging work. It's the valuable work.
And I'll put a caveat out there. I'm realistic, right? You got to do everything in balance. You don't want to spend 6 months developing processes. You got to get something done. You have to be agile. But you got to get something done. But it's really important to start with that blueprint, because if you don't have the blueprint, how do you know what it is you want to automate? And it's really important to have that.
Yeah, because you can guess what features you want, but if you have a blueprint that shows you how you work, you can make sure that it's going to fit. I mean, you can send that blueprint to your vendors and say, hey, can you make this work? And that's a great place to ask for a proof of concept. Like, build this process for me and then show it to me. Have your sales engineering team build this and demonstrate it to me.
And there is a caveat. Like, there's been a big trend over the last few years about going out of the box with tools.
Yeah,
the vendors have done so much to build a certain degree of process into their tool. I noticed that your product is, been verified by Pink Elephant on various different process levels, so that you've incorporated it into your software product, which is awesome. And you know what? If your organization is not overly complex, if your organization, maybe doesn't have a lot of process, adopting the tool, you could get from point A to point B so much faster.
Yeah.
Without having to do a lot of, quote unquote process work.
Yeah.
But if you're a larger enterprise, multinational, you've been doing, you have legacy systems, you have all of this, no process will work out of the box for you. It's impossible. Anyone who tells you that, well, it's impossible. Yeah. Your organization isn't out of the box, right? So again, vendors have gone a long way to building baking process into their tools. And that's, you know, for that, you have to commend them. Back in the days of Remedy, there was none of that. You know, you had to build it all, you know, at the beginning. For those of you who remember that product, Remedy. But it's been a while. But anyway, but today, you know, out of the box will work for a lot of people. But for many organizations, if you want to, especially if you want to go to that next level, you have customized needs. You really have to map out your process first.
Yeah. Yeah. If your company doesn't fit in a box, don't be out of the box. You heard it here first. I had an ITSM implementation fail, so to speak. It was a huge ServiceNow gig.
You and 70% of other people.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this one was unique in that the reason it failed is at the very end, the company got acquired.
Okay.
And so they were going to be using the parent company's IT department, the parent company's instance, everything. They had to adapt to their processes. Yeah. But that is really why I would say that project wasn't a failure, because we left them with all of these process documentation to understand like how they work, and they could use that during that acquisition or that merger to really, you know, communicate with our colleagues and peers and mash what works together.
Right. It really, really helped with the implementation, I'm sure.
Okay, so now let's talk about Navia, because we've been talking about process a little bit. What does Navia do that supports this in organizations?
So for those of you who know us, you know, we've been in business since 1999. For most of the early years, we were a consulting company. So like you, I went in and did different engagements. You know, originally, you know, as one of the consultants, and you know, as we grew, you know, more in a management role. But we would go in and assess process maturity, like where are your gaps? Because, you know, if you're going to spend all that money to bring in a new tool and implement the processes in it, you might as well spend some time finding out what's broken. Because if you do all that work and you haven't fixed the pain points that the customers were experiencing, they're not going to be that happy, right?
No.
So we would do assessments. Then we would come in and map out the as-is process. Okay, so what do you do today? How's it look? And look for areas of improvement. Oh, you know, not all departments are on the same process. Not all departments are on the same ticketing system, whatever that might be, right? So we would map out the as-is and the to-be processes, and then we would take it to the next level. In many engagements, we did a lot of implementation work, so we would help the client automate that process and then do some training and roll out. So full life cycle stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you've ever done that work, and I know you have, there's a lot of moving parts, right? You're building stuff in Word, you're building stuff in Visio, you're building stuff in a variety of different, you know, maybe in Excel, you know, requirements often go in Excel, Visio for your flow charts, Word for your process narratives. So we found that, you know, hard to manage. Also, we wanted to have repeatable work. We wanted to have templates that we can go in and use over and over again in different engagements. So we built Navia as a productivity tool. Navia stands for navigate your processes by Navia. So that's what Navia stands for. So we built this as a productivity tool, and we'd go in an engagement. Somebody would load in a process template, like a change process template or an incident. We'd bring it up. We would, you know, we'd have workshops. We'd be able to validate it. We'd do the assessments through the assessment engine of our tool, send out questionnaires, get results. And then, you know, we create requirements, and then we put those in that tool. And then what Navia would do would produce all the different documents that came out. So Navia was a productivity tool to help us on our consulting engagements, make us more lean and mean and be able to do things quicker. So people started noticing that and saying, what is that thing you're using? I've never seen that. Is that Visio? I don't think that's Visio. What is that? And we started saying, hey, maybe we got something, right? So we productized it. And for a while we did consulting and software simultaneously. And then about 7 years ago, we just kind of left consulting behind, and now we focus on the software product. So our customers who, you know, mostly, you know, Fortune 1000 clients, a lot of financial services, healthcare, insurance companies, you know, manufacturing companies, They use Navia basically to go in and drive any kind of digital transformation. They can assess where their processes are. They can, using some templates that we have or building from scratch, they can design their process models, capture the user stories, the requirements, build all the right documentation for implementation, build documentation for training, all from a central source. And what differentiates Navia maybe from Visio and other tools is how it creates the documents. We have a big, you know, everything's in Navia, but it builds a Word document. It builds a RACI chart. It builds a SIPOC diagram. It builds technical requirements documentation. So you're always getting it from the same source. So if something changed, all your documents get updated. So you're not you don't have to go and update 1,000 different documents. Everything's coming from the same source.
I love it.
Yeah.
It makes me want to see it. I'm sure that there are plenty of service management offices out there that would love to have this because like you pointed out, the discipline to have it all in one place is really hard because you've got Word documents, you've got Visio documents and Excel, and everything's all over the place. I can see how it would be really nice to have it all in one spot. And
oh, for sure. And you hit the nail on the head. One of our key, you know, communities of interest is the service management office. It really helps with all of those things from process, you know, assessment, process design, sharing the documentation with everyone in the organization, and also process governance. So it really helps the service management office. Or what we're trying to do is get more into the business process side. And lately, that's what most, you know, today I did a couple of demos and was all to people who plan to use the tool for business process. And that's where we think it's at, you know, get it. A process is a process, whether it's change process or a case management system for an insurance company, it's still process.
Yeah, it turns out what IT is doing is not unique. Everyone needs this. Every team, we all need it just to understand how we work and document it. And man, I can imagine it helps with training too, right? Like a service desk agent joins, you can see how stuff flows.
Well, you know, we're in a point in time right now where there's a major turning happening where people of my age are beginning to retire and all the next generations are coming in. But in so many organizations that don't have process, all that is in between people's ears, right? Mm. It's in your head. You want to know how to do it? Ask David. He's been around forever. He knows exactly how to get that done. And they might have process documentation, but it hadn't been updated in, you know, how long. So I think it's really important now because process documentation can be not only great for communicating what you need to do, but training that next generation of people, right? Making sure that as people leave the company, you're not losing all of this historic knowledge, all this corporate knowledge walking out the door with them, that you're retaining it. So, and that's actually the use case that some of our more recent clients have had is like, we got to document this stuff because a lot of people are, you know, in some of the government organizations we're working at, there's a lot of retirements happening and they want to get that all documented before people left. So that's definitely a use case for sure.
Man, I don't hear a lot of SMOs or service management offices talking about succession planning, but that's it. Like that is why you need this because otherwise you've got that single point of failure and that's just not that's a terrible thing to have. Okay, so let's geek out a little bit more. What do you see as changing in the process world nowadays? Like what are the new trends? What are people looking at when they're looking at the future of process?
Well, for sure. There's a couple of things. So process discovery is really big with robotic process discovery and robotic process automation. So, you know, there are technologies out there that you can install that will sniff out your processes. I saw actually an interesting demo of one recently where it was installed into the various, like basically the ITSM system. And it was able to detect things like, how are these tickets routed? How long did it take a ticket to move from one state to another state? So it sort of an agent that sat in there looking for all of this information. And it was able to draw out these flows saying, tickets typically go this way to this. So robotic process discovery can help in many ways, if there's technology, to identify how the process is flowing today, what the exceptions, what the bottlenecks are, those types of things. So process discovery tools can be very beneficial. Some of the problems though is not everything in a process is automated. Mm. Some of it is the knowledge and you know, it's how I respond to the process, you know, submitting, you know, the ticket flow is one part of the process, but how I do my work is something not related to the ticketing system at all.
Yeah.
But you know, if you're in a big complex organization and you want to understand how processes are working, getting that kind of view can really help in your assessment, because you'll see, okay, at least we know the technologies, at least we know the flows. Now we can go out and interview people and talk about what is it they do and what is, you know, and more those aspects. You know, I'll tell you, like even today in large organizations, you'll find because of legacy systems and things, you know, oh, we still get faxes. Can you believe that? So we deal with, like all of our customers are fairly large, so they have procurement departments, and some of the systems that they're using send the POs by fax. Can you believe that?
I can't.
So obviously, I'm not sure how much process discovery tool is going to find out when that fax is sent, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway. But process discovery is a big piece. And then the robotic process automation, right? Because you want to take repetitive tasks and automate them as much as possible. And that could be anywhere from a chat client that you have on the site where you initiate a service request, not a service request, but if you have a support request, right? You can have robotic process automation intercept that and walk a person through 5 or 6 steps before transferring to an agent. So robotic process automation combined with AI is, you know, all the rage. And then, you know, with process automation, there still is that requirement of knowing what your process is. The tool isn't just going to automatically automate your process. You've got to know what it is you're automating. If you have a bad process, automating it is just going to cause disaster because you're going to have a bad process on steroids, right?
Yeah.
So process automation, though, is another big trend. And, you know, AI, I'm not even sure, you know, this is just, I don't think we've even begun to see how this is going to impact everybody. You know, it's amazing what, you know, just, you know, I'm using it for various purposes in my, mostly on the creative side.
Yeah.
I, you know, if I'm looking, I'm building a blog post or, you know, writing something, I'll go through and I'll use some AI, you know, I don't use ChatGPT, but I use something else. But I'll, you know, check that out, but you got to be careful. There's something called AI hallucinations where they tell you something very authoritatively, like, wrong.
Yeah, like the worst kind of splainer. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so, you know, but that's going to improve. It's just going to get better over time, right? So right now, there's some caution with that. But I think that's another, you know, another big area is the AI part of things.
Yeah, I've been using it creatively as well. Like I could see people using it for standard operating procedures, you know, develop a standard operating procedure for, you know, answering a customer service call. And it's great for brainstorming because it's got hallucinations, it's got everything. It's going to give you a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
But that key point that you made is it.
Example, I was writing GDPR privacy statement.
Yes.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, that's the European, you know, privacy thing. For your data, protecting customer data. So I was writing a privacy statement for the website. So I had one that was done, you know, for an AI. I had the one that we had all along. And I also went to the GDPR website in the authority, and they had a sample one. My new one has pieces of all three.
Yeah.
Because no one was 100% right.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
So it was a huge productivity boost for me. I thought it was amazing, but it's not 100% right. And like you said, you know, if you asked it, you know, give me the, you know, the 5 benefits of IT asset management or the top 10 benefits, you'll get a bunch of benefits. Some, and most of them will be good. And some of them, maybe not so, or some of them are duplicates. But
yeah,
from there, you can actually, you know, then you put your own juices into it and you can make something pretty unique.
That is exactly it. You got to put your own juice into it, just like you have with Navia. So one last question, and then we'll go. The question that I've got is, And I think it's kind of the question that everyone always has is, what's a common mistake that you see that you can tell process owners right now so that they'll avoid making that same mistake?
Oh my God. Well, I think here's one that I would like to bring up. Let's use an analogy here of, let's say you're a carpenter, right? So if you're a carpenter, you have some skills, you have some tools, you have some knowledge, and you can build beautiful furniture, right? Process work has a certain set of skills associated with it. Running a workshop to understand the as-is process, a to-be process, right? There's interpersonal skills to pull out, interviewing skills, discovery skills. There's a lot of stuff. If you're building a house, would you go to your three kids and said, I'm going to give you some tools and turn you in, and you're going to be the carpenters for the house?
No,
because they don't know what they're doing.
Right.
One of the things I've seen lately is people are delegating the process work down to people who have day jobs.
Mm.
Right. So my day job is I'm the manager of the service desk. Yeah, you kind of know the process, but you don't know how to document a process.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm bringing this one up because it's kind of top of mind with a few clients. I really think, if you're running a service management office, one of the great services that you can provide the process owners and the departments, and maybe even the business to help with digital transformation initiatives, is to be that subject matter expert who knows how to document a process in a standard way. You don't want 10 different versions. You don't want every department documenting in a completely different way on a different tool, right? You can be that subject matter expert that goes in and facilitates the information gathering, the building of the process, the documenting of the process. And I'll tell you, the process owners don't want to do it anyway.
Right.
So it'd be better to go in and have someone. So I think, if you're in a service management office today, a great service that you could provide is the service of going in and facilitating the documentation of the process.
Yes, it's a good one. And it makes sense because we're above IT. We are at a different level than IT operations. A service right. management office can really provide that value across the organization, much like product management, much like experience management, much like customer experience. It goes beyond just what IT is doing. So,
and there's various framers like business process modeling notation, and there's certifications you can get in designing a document. So it's a trade. It's a skill. There are people who are process architects. You can bring that kind of skill set to the table. You have project managers, you have specialists in other areas. You should have specialists into a team that specializes in documenting processes.
100%. That's good business advice right there. You need experts that can take the time and have the talent to capture the processes. Okay, Mr. Mainville, how can people connect with you and learn more?
Oh, well, I'm on LinkedIn, obviously. Navia.com. We have a contact request. That's what I'm trying to say. So yeah, you go to our website, www.navia.com. You can submit a request there. I'm always open to getting, connected on LinkedIn. So just look for me at Mainville, and I'm on Twitter and all those other platforms, or X, I guess it's called now, but I have a hard time, LinkedIn is probably the best place to get. I'm on LinkedIn regularly, and I do respond to inquiries that come in.
Same here. So find us on LinkedIn. David, thank you so much for your time. Thanks for being on Ticket Volume.
I appreciate your time as well.
And for our audience, did you know that you can join us for a live recording? Register today at ticketvolume.com and click on register. Thank you for listening. You can change and improve this podcast by DMing me or leaving a comment or shouting it out on the internet. I'm sure I'll find it. And speaking of Ticket Volume, did you know that this podcast is brought to you by Invigate? It's a fit-for-purpose service desk solution with integrated asset management that's designed to let you focus on supporting your organization without a platform team that takes months of time to implement your changes. In fact, IT teams from Toyota, NASA, and McDonald's use Invigate to manage requests, automate workflows, and centralize their inventory data so that they can focus on delivering better service, because good service is good business.